is, when you are tempted, I just wonder if there's anybody here that has been or is tempted. And as we go, the junior worship is going out at this time. We thank you for their excitement. We pray that we are as excited as well to hear the word. What must you do when you are tempted? What can we do when we are tempted? Thomas Edison was once asked how he resisted temptation. He said he never really had any temptation. You see, he said, I have no time. You know, I love this idea of escaping temptation by doing good. Keeping busy. If your life is filled with doing good, then we will have a little time to think and do what is evil. In Matthew 12, verses 43 and 45, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. When a house or a life is empty, it's wide open for anything and anyone to come into it. But you see, if it is occupied with Christ, evil cannot enter in. So, with our lives, if we fill our lives with Jesus Christ, His Word, His activities, then the evil one will not enter in. In Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the evil desires of the sinful nature. One lady said, you know, I can just about resist everything except for temptation. Well, what else is there other than temptation to sin? What gets you? What tempts you? Is it materialism? Pride? Self-centeredness? Laziness? Anger? Sexual lust? Gluttony? Lying? Gossip? Just what seems to tempt you every time you turn the corner? You see, all of us are tempted by something. And temptation in itself is not bad. Temptation means that the devil wants you. He wants your soul. If you've never been tempted to sin, well, then it's possible that Satan's already got you. What a horrible thought. And yet, in some ways, it happens. And it happens to some people that we already know. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, as for you, you were dead in transgressions of sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, glorifying in the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. I don't know if anybody notices, but I got new glasses. And right now, they're blurry. So please follow along up on the board for the scripture, because I'm struggling with being able to see, which is kind of a scary thought. You see, we all were dead in our sins. Who am I talking about? All who has never believed and trusted in Christ for their salvation. At one time, we all were dead in our sins because we all lived according to our fleshly appetites. The ways of the world and the evil one who is at work in the world. But we still, you and I, we still have a problem, don't we? We still are tempted to sin. And we must do something about these temptations. What must we do when we are tempted? How can we and what should we do? Would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, as I come forward, dear Lord, I pray that you clear up my vision. I pray that our vision is to follow you. I ask that you speak through me, through the Holy Spirit, and that you touch in each and every one, dear Lord, with your word, and allow us to desire to follow you. Allow us to be courageous. Allow us to admit that we do struggle with temptation at times, and that you, dear Lord, are the answer. This I pray in your Son's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to James chapter 1, we're going to be reading from verses 13 through 18. And I would really highly suggest you to take a look at your Bible at this time so that I do not blur his word. Verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own will, evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Who does not change like shifting shadows? He chose to give us birth through the word of the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all created. When we are tempted, the one thing that we do not want to do is do not blame God. In verse 13 there it says, when tempted, no one should say God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. There was a manager in a minor league baseball league, and he got so disgusted with his play of his center fielder, his performance, that he ordered him into the bench. And he grabbed his very own glove, and he ran out to the center field. While he was out there, the pitcher threw a tight and inside, and the ball came out. It was a high fly ball. He lost the ball in the sun. It ricocheted off his glove and hit him right in the eye. The next hit, it was a line drive. Low. He come charging into it. It hit the ground and went through his hands, and it hit him right in the forehead. After that, there was another ball that was hit, and that one, he just totally blundered it, and it hit him in the chin. He got so disgusted, he ran into the dugout, grabbed the center fielder and said, you got center field so messed up, I can't even play it. You see, we humans, we're pretty good when it comes to blaming somebody else. You know, we don't like to take responsibility for our own failures and our own sins. We prefer to blame it on someone else. Well, I would have never smoked if my dad didn't smoke. You know, I remember that my friend, a few years older than me, he took me in to the bar and he bought me my first drink. And that was the start of my drinking problem. You see, it's always easier for us to blame someone else for our failures than it is for us to own up through them and admit that we have made some kind of error. People also tend to want to blame God for everything that's bad that happens to them. You see, God created me this way. I can't help myself. You see, it's his fault. This is how many people think in our society today. God made me this way. It's got to be right. I was born this way. And yet, when they blame God, they don't live their lives according to His Word. You see, this is just the opposite attitude of someone that is in the Old Testament Scripture. Who is that someone? In Job 1:22, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." In all of what? If we can remember, Job lost all his material things. Not only his material things, but he lost all 10 of his children. And he did not charge God with wrongdoing or blame God. What a man. What a God-fearing man he was. I know that many people would like to blame God for everything bad that happens to them. But you see, that's incorrect thinking. God cannot be tempted by evil. Why is that? Well, because He's God. He's holy. He's pure. He is without sin. To be sinless is almost beyond my comprehension, and I believe your comprehension. Because you see, we sin so much and so often that, well, we just can't imagine someone or something without sin. Perhaps the nearest thing that I can think of is a newborn baby in all of its purity, laying there without sin. C.S. Lewis wrote, "How little people know and think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible, just like a little baby." Have you noticed that? I mean, when you see that newborn baby, don't you just kind of want to hold it? Don't you just kind of want to snuggle it? You know, just allow it to be right there. People say puppy's breath is great, but man, you cannot beat a little baby snuggling up against your neck. It's a picture, just a little picture perhaps, of God's holiness, His purity. God cannot be tempted by sin. Temptation holds no power over Him. And God does not tempt anyone. If this is true, then why? Why are you and I tempted to sin? It should be obvious that you and I know that we live in a sinful world, a broken world. But God didn't break it. We did. Consequently, there will always be temptation in this world of sin. But it's not God's fault, even though He created the world. When we are tempted, do blame yourself. Verse 14, it says, "But each one is tempted when by his own flesh, own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." Each one is tempted by our own evil desires. Aha! You see, we all have evil desires at times. They raise their ugly heads. They give us a try. I still believe it's called sinful nature that we all have within. If we all were put in the wrong place at the wrong time, we probably would fall to sin. Thomas Boston, the Scottish church leader of the 1600s, wrote, "Temptation is the fire that brings the scum up from the heart." John Piper says that sin, lust for example, gets its power from persuading me to believe that I will be happier if I follow it. The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make us happier. A Reader's Digest wrote, I don't know if there's any gentlemen that have ever felt this before or have experienced this. "While my wife and I were shopping at the mall, a shapely young woman in a short, tight-fitting dress strolled by. And my eyes followed her. Without looking up, my wife, examining the clothing that she was looking at, said, 'Was it worth the trouble you're in now?'" Each one is tempted by your own evil desires. Your temptation may not be sexual lust, It may be something else. For example, some people should not go shopping. They should not look at the Sunday advertisements because they are aroused by what they see. And when they see a certain thing, they can't help but buy it. And the problem of I want it, I need it, oh, I gotta have it, it can quickly turn to, yeah, even idol worship. That is, we want that material thing even more than we hunger and want to know God and to please Him. John, 1 John 2:15 and 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And the King James calls them the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One preacher called these the three goals of the world. And most of the temptation that we face in life comes from them. First, lust for sensual pleasure. Lust for things pleasing to the eyes, materialistic desires. Number three, pride. We desire to be appreciated. We desire to be praised. We desire to be glorified. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, it says, it is because of him that you are Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. If there is anything in our lives, our talents, our gifts, our material goods, etc., that appear good or great, it's because they are a gift from God, and He alone deserves the glory. Thomas Alva Edison might well be called the founding father of most of our modern electrical conveniences. One of the most interesting and instructive things that Edison is, that he said was about alcoholic beverage. To put alcohol in a human's body, he says, is like putting sand in the bearings of a running engine. I'm a total abstainer, he said, of alcohol liquor. I always thought that I had a better use for my head. Brothers and sisters, this is true about any sin. God has a better use for our minds and our bodies than to give in to sin. Bringing me to point three. When we are caught in the temptation, and perhaps we have given in, when we are tempted, we need to look up. Verses 16 through 18 tells us in James, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. Someone said, listen to this, and I'll repeat it, to realize God's presence is the one sovereign remedy against temptation. To realize God's presence is the one sovereign remedy against temptation. If we truly believe that God walks with us, that He's there with us, that when that temptation is there and we think that God is right beside us, would we follow our desires? We not only look up and recognize that God has given us every good and perfect gift, but we also look up and realize that He is the way out of our temptation. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He is the way out. He always provides a way out. We need to look at him. There was a boy named Alexander, and he was trying to save his pennies up for that baseball bat that was going to allow him to hit that home run finally. But you see, it was a hard struggle. One night, his mother heard him at his bedroom door, down on his knees, praying fervently, "Oh God, please help me to save my money for that baseball bat. And God, please don't let the ice cream truck come down my road." You know, we laugh at that, but we all should pray a prayer sometimes like that. We should pray sometimes, "Lord, don't let that person enter into my space today." Or, "Lord, don't allow me to bump into that person today." Or, "Don't allow that activity to be there. Or allow that materialistic thing to show up for me. Lord, don't let me see that JCPenney's sales catalog. Lord, for the guys, for me, Lord, don't show that thing that I've been wanting in the Menard sales catalog, please. And don't make it 60% off, please. Could you please block my driveway or something so that I can't get out?" Mark Twain once wrote, "You know, there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardness." In other words, too afraid to act on that desire. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." There are some things in life from which we must run. Sometime after the conversion of Augustine, he came face to face with a woman who had his evil genius, who was his evil genius, for many months, having dragged him deeper and deeper into sin, until he was finally freed by the bonds of the cross and the blood of the cross, blood of Jesus Christ. When he passed her, he would only give her a little nod. Finally, she asked him, "Augustine, don't you know me anymore? See, it is I." Looking at her for a moment and understanding that she no longer had the power, the evil power over him, Augustine replied, "Yes, but it is not I." When an emperor arrested Chrysostom, he tried to make him recant from his belief in Christ. He shook his head, though, because the emperor said to his guards, "Throw him into prison." One of his guards said, "No, don't throw him into prison, because he would love to be able to spend quiet time just with his Savior." "Well, then execute him." And another guard said, "No, no, because I heard him say that he looks forward to going to heaven." Another one said, "I heard that the only thing that can cause him pain is to make him sin. Because you see, he is afraid of nothing other than sinning against his Lord and Savior." You and I, we must do all that we can within our power, from giving into temptation to sin and helping others along the way. We may well ask, "What can I do to help save myself from others and from this sin?" Well, remember, when we are tempted, we are being tempted not by God, but through our own evil desires. Our own mind begins to start thinking of things. And when we fall into sin, whom do we blame? It's our fault. It's not God's. But when we get into that sin, where do we look? We look up to God to get us out of that sin. We look to him to forgive us of that sin. As we come and get ready to sing a song of commitment, we all, each one of us in here are tempted. We have to admit that first. And we have to understand that it's Christ. It's Christ who can get us through that temptation. Let's stand in unity and prepare to sing this song and talk to our Lord and ask Him to put that tree across our driveway when that sin comes our way.